Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
When God is wanting to send forth His Word to speak to you, to correct you maybe, to encourage you, to bless you, to strengthen you, you know, the enemy will be right there trying to snatch that away as well. He knows the power of God's Word. He knows what it will do in the life of a receptive heart, and he just doesn't want that to happen. So we need to be conscious of that.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of Luke. Join us as Pastor Brian resumes his teaching on Luke chapter 8. Now here's Pastor Brian.
Oftentimes people say, well, Jesus spoke in parables to enable people's understanding. He took heavenly truths and illustrated them with earthly things that people would have been familiar with. And that is true, but it doesn't necessarily mean, just because he's using earthly things like seeds and sowing and so forth, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to understand what his point is. And Jesus says here that he's speaking in parables in order not to reveal more clearly, but actually to obscure, to hide. And Matthew tells us very specifically that Jesus spoke in parables in order to veil these truths from people. So here's the question. Why would God do that? Why would God hide the truth from somebody? Well, normally he won't, but if people refuse to listen, and this is the case, people refuse to listen, people refuse to respond to the revelation that God has given, there can come a point that they're no longer able to hear. They're no longer able to discern what is going on. There is a judgment that can come upon a person. And there's a judgment that could come upon a people, and that would be the case with the majority of people at the time of the ministry of Jesus. As they are in the process of weighing his words and ultimately rejecting his words, he knows that that's where things are heading. So he's going to speak in ways that if you really want to know, you're going to have to take it very seriously and dig down deeply to get the answer. If that's not your interest, if you're not truly interested, then it's just going to remain there just out of your reach. You're not going to be able to comprehend it. That's what Jesus is saying here. And so again, he says, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now, this is a quote from Isaiah. And Isaiah had warned the nation that there would come this point potentially where even though they would see, they wouldn't perceive. And even though they would hear, they would not understand. What was the reason for that? Because their hearts had grown hardened. And so the hard heart is what is preventing them from seeing. And so Jesus is speaking, like I said, in this veiled language. But for those that are wanting to know, he is going to reveal the meaning. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature or bear fruit. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. They said, we don't understand what you're saying. Tell us. And so because they are genuinely inquiring, because they are following Jesus, indicating that they want to understand and know. So he gives them the understanding. Now, this parable is so fascinating to me in the insight that it gives us to certain things. So Jesus tells us right up front that the seed is the word of God. So the sower or the farmer, Jesus is the sower. And that's what he's doing. He's come and he's sowing God's word into the people at the time. But then he speaks about those who are like that seed that falls by the wayside or that hardened path. And he says this, he says that they hear and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The thing that is kind of shocking here is to see the devil's activity when the word of God goes out to seek to counter the effects of God's word. By, in this case, by just snatching it away before anyone can ever really lay hold of it in a true kind of a faith experience. So this happens. So just, you know, it's something for us to think about when we are, maybe we're in a situation where we have an opportunity to speak to somebody about the word of God. Just to be aware that in the invisible realm, there are forces that don't want that seed to land on a place where it could possibly ultimately bear fruit. And so the enemy is right there to come and to try to snatch it away before anything can really take effect. So that's why it's so important that we pray around these kinds of things. You know, when I come to preach on Sunday mornings, we're praying, Lord, may your word go out and may it find good soil to land on. And Lord, we pray against the work of the devil. You know, the devil comes to church and we can't see him most of the time. Sometimes he shows up in people, but he's at work. And, you know, we've all experienced that to some degree or another. It doesn't have to be only what Jesus is describing here. I mean, when God is wanting to send forth his word to speak to you, to correct you maybe, to encourage you, to bless you, to strengthen you, you know, the enemy will be right there trying to snatch that away as well. He knows the power of God's word. He knows what it will do in the life of a receptive heart, and he just doesn't want that to happen. So we need to be conscious of that. And sometimes we experience that. When we're newer Christians or younger Christians, we don't know that that's what's going on. We're wondering, you know, I don't know. I'm confused in my mind, and I just feel kind of weird. You know, we have these experiences. What's happening is there's satanic interference there. But as you grow and you get more experience, you begin to sense like, oh, okay, I know what's going on here. I know what's happening. I've had so many times in my life where I'm going off into some ministry venture or something like that, and there's all these little, just these small thoughts that are, they're like barbed, and they come and they just, you know, they just sort of hit you, and just little fears and little threats and little things. And if you're not aware, you can easily become a victim and just fall prey to it and just say, oh, no, I can't because, you know, this. What if this happens? And I thought that. But if you recognize, oh, no, this is how the enemy works. So in the case that Jesus is giving us here, it is a person who is hearing the word of God as an unbeliever, and the devil snatches it away. But my point is simply to say this same type of thing can happen to us sometimes, so we have to beware of it. And then Jesus goes on and he describes the seed that fell on the rocky ground. Those who hear the word, they receive it with gladness. They're so excited about it. But yet it doesn't last. And as soon as trouble comes along, as soon as difficulty or hardship come along, people say, oh, you know, I didn't sign up for this. So they go ahead and step back from following the Lord. But then there's the one, and this is the one that always gets me, the seed that's sown among the thorns. So falls, begins to produce, there's something that springs up. Obviously, it has to spring up because the weeds wrap around and begin to choke it. And Jesus tells us that the weeds are the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things. And so a person who looks so promising and has maybe a great start and a bit of a prolonged season, but yet finally they pull back because, well, I'm too busy. I don't have time for those things anymore. I've got to tend to this, and then we need that, and the cares of this life can come in and rob that. Many people have been in church for good seasons of time and even been involved in serving a church in various capacities, who finally at some point decided, I don't have time for that anymore. I've got other things to do. I've often thought this thought, if all the people that have ever come to Calvary Chapel here and been a part and seemed like they were in the kingdom and serving God, and yet ended up going out, drifting away, if all of the people in Orange County that have done that showed up on one Sunday, the entire piece of property would not be able to contain them. That's true, and it's sad to think that that's the case. You know, for me, I think of people that I walked alongside of in service to the Lord who no longer follow Jesus today. And most of the time, it's this third experience that Jesus described here. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things came and choked out the word. So it's a warning for all of us. But then finally, there is the seed that fell on good soil, and it stands for those who, with a noble and good heart, they hear the word, they retain it, and they persevere. And by persevering, they produce a crop. Now, this is really the key to the Christian life, perseverance. And I know many of you in this room, you have persevered. You've walked with Jesus a long time. Good. Keep going. It's not over yet. Keep going. Persevere. And fruit will come. Now, in my experience, fruit rarely comes as early as you would hope it would. You expect it to come. And yet, it doesn't come in the timing. And this is the Christian experience. Paul, in writing to the Galatians, you think of that place where he says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. So that's kind of the way most of the Christian life is. There's a temptation to grow weary while doing good. You know, I've embraced God's word, I've held fast to it, and I'm believing that the fruit that God spoke of is going to come, but it's delaying its coming. But don't grow weary while doing good. Persevere, keep going, because the promise is in due time we will reap if we don't lose heart, if we don't give up. So that's the parable. And then Jesus says, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. So here, this is connected back to the parable. Consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. So be careful how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. So whoever has is the person who has that genuine faith that perseveres. That's the one who has. And to the one who has, they will be given more, but whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. So for those who have the genuine faith, more will be given. For those whose faith is not genuine, indicated by the fact that at some point they pull back, they turn away, even what they think they have will end up being lost. And so be careful how you hear. Remember, that's the parable. They heard the word, but the various responses to having heard. So we want to make sure that as we hear the word of God, we're allowing it to take root in our hearts and then persevering. And for those that do that, more will be given to them. Now, Jesus's mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." Now, in the Jewish culture, your family was top priority. Of course, it was God, and then it was your family. So, and you, of course, you were taught in the scriptures to honor your father and your mother. So here's Jesus, and his mother and brothers are coming to see him. So on one level, you would expect that he would drop everything and just welcome them and give them a seat of priority in the room. This is my mother. These are my brothers. But he doesn't do that. Shockingly, once again, sort of against the custom of the day. And yet Jesus replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Wow. I don't think they were expecting that. And we know from other passages of scripture, you know, his brothers did not even believe in him. We also know from other passages that there was a certain point where they, and I think the family, the brothers in particular, probably, I think they sort of manipulated Mary. They would have had to. But they went to rescue Jesus because they said, "He's out of his mind. We've got to go help him. Our brother's lost his mind. He thinks he's the Messiah." So they don't believe in him, but they will come to believe in him. James and Jude, who are the authors of the New Testament books, James and Jude, are the brothers, the half-brothers of Jesus. And so later on, after the resurrection, we're not told about Jude's conversion, but we're told about James's conversion, and it's after the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, that after Jesus was raised from the dead, he talks about his appearance to people, and he says that he appeared to James. So at this point, though, his mother and his brothers come, but Jesus says this. He says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So on one level, Jesus is, he's reminding his own family, and even Mary at this point, that even though she is his mother, yet there's a whole nother level in which she doesn't have any authority. And that is regarding his mission as the Messiah. But then he says, my mother and my brothers, including all of those who trust in God's word into that intimate circle with him. These are my real family members, my true family members. Now, anybody, I know some of you in the room were brought up in Roman Catholicism. How many of you were raised in Catholicism? Yeah, so those of us who were raised there, we know the strong emphasis on Mary that the Catholic Church has placed over many, many centuries. And that's still the case for the most part. You'll find rare occasions here and there where there's a de-emphasis because people have been more influenced by Scripture. But I think that if, you know, when you're talking to a person who is a Roman Catholic and you're talking to a person who is, you know, maybe committed to praying the rosary or something like that under the belief that Mary is an intercessor, that she's a mediator, that she's going to, you know, actually improve our access to Jesus and so forth, that she has an elevated position. You know, the Catholic Church teaches that Mary was sinless. That's what the Immaculate Conception is. And also that Mary ascended into heaven. She was assumed into heaven. And she's there, you know, with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit and so forth. But I think just to point out to a person who believes that in a gentle conversation, just to point out the words of Jesus here, if it doesn't completely alter their thinking on it, it's definitely going to give them food for thought. Because Jesus just, you know, he doesn't in any way, shape, or form elevate Mary whatsoever. As a matter of fact, he puts her on the exact same level as all of those who believe God's word. So my mother, and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Now, I, for the most part, don't spend my time when I'm speaking to Catholic people, and I know many Roman Catholics who are genuine believers in Jesus, and some of them still hold on to some of the traditional things and some of the ideas that aren't really solidly scriptural.
For the month of December, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled, Is Christmas Unbelievable? 4 Questions Everyone Should Ask About the World's Most Famous Story by Rebecca McLaughlin. Although the holiday season can be filled with fond memories from childhood or the prospect of more to come, the holiday season can also be one of the most difficult times of the year. The longing for those we miss can intensify, or the loneliness felt throughout the year can be amplified. Whether the holiday season brings you excitement or dread, Rebecca McLaughlin will introduce you to the man born 2,000 years ago and explain the significance of his birth for you today. She will deal with the incredible claims of Christianity and will help you see that it is perhaps more important than you think. The book is Christmas Unbelievable, 4 Questions Everyone Should Ask About the World's Most Famous Story by Rebecca McLaughlin. is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of Luke. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.